Now, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, is here to stay, at least for now, and one many people are calling a surprising decision, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to uphold the Obama-era plan. DACA has allowed hundreds of thousands of young immigrants who were brought to America as children to avoid deportation and to stay in the U.S. For nearly 3 years, the Trump administration has tried to end it, but Chief Justice John Roberts said the government failed to provide enough justification for doing so. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called the ruling surprising and amazing.
I cried tears of joy a few minutes ago when I heard the decision of the Supreme Court on DACA. These wonderful DACA kids and their families have a huge burden lifted off their shoulders. They don't have to worry about being deported. They can do their jobs. And I do believe this, someday soon, they will be American citizens.
In a tweet, President Trump wrote, quote, "These horrible and politically charged decisions coming out of the Supreme Court are shotgun blasts into the face of people that are proud to call themselves Republicans or conservatives. We need more justices or we will lose our Second Amendment and everything else." Shobha Sivaprasad Wadia is the Samuel Weiss Faculty Scholar and Clinical Professor of Law at Penn State University. Shobha, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here.
Were you, first of all, surprised by this ruling?
I was somewhat surprised, but just more heartened. And like the senator, was shedding tears of joy while wading through the opinion.
Now, what exactly does this ruling mean for about 650,000 people who had been covered and now still will be covered under DACA?
Well, the decision was held on a narrow issue of administrative law, but what it means for those with DACA is profound and significant. It means that those who have been living in the United States with DACA, working, often supporting their families or going to school, will continue to be protected under deferred action, which is a kind of discretionary protection in immigration. Today's outcome, I think, also opens the door for thousands of new Dreamers to request deferred action for the first time since the policy ended and to realize their potential. So I think the promise and the future is bright. This is an uncertain future, but today's victory is crystal clear.
Now, remind us, Shobha, who specifically do DACA protections apply to?
Sure. So DACA is a policy that was announced under the Obama administration and implemented by an agency called the Department of Homeland Security. And it applies to people who came to the United States before the age of 16, who've lived in the United States for over a decade, are in school or graduated, and don't have a criminal history as defined by the agency. It's not a legal status. It's a temporary reprieve. But nevertheless, DACA has changed lives, and it has dignified a whole class of people who call America home.
And Senator Schumer mentioned a hope he had that people covered by DACA could become citizens someday. There's no actual mechanism within the DACA order that provides for that, though, is there?
Correct. DACA does not provide an independent pathway to citizenship. It is not a legal status. It is what I sometimes call immigration purgatory. In order for there to be a pathway to citizenship, that's where Congress needs to act. And this decision only amplifies the role and responsibility that Congress has to do good on Senator Schumer's hope by enacting legislation that provides a permanent solution, not only to people who have DACA, but also to their families and other long-term residents who call America home.
Shobha Sivaprasad-Wadia is with us from the Penn State University Law School, looking at the Supreme Court DACA decision earlier today. You can join in with your reaction, by the way, at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Shobha, DACA in polling is fairly popular. President Trump at some points has spoken favorably of it. He has expressed hopes that it could be extended. He wants Congress to do that. Many in Congress, sometimes on both sides, have said they support it. What's been the obstacle?
Yeah, so President Trump has been volatile, to say the least, in his opinions about DACA. He's flip-flopped both before he became president and after, calling Dreamers good people, but then also making them vulnerable to deportation and calling what Justice Sotomayor said in her dissent or concurrence, rather, equating undocumented immigrants with animals. The obstacle is in part the administration because it created partially the crisis that we're in. There was no reason that the administration had to end DACA in the first place. So in my opinion, he always had the ability to both support and sustain DACA as initiated in 2012, as well as fully support a permanent solution in Congress. The obstacles in Congress are somewhat partisan. They're not policy centered because we've had legislation every year since at least 2001.
Right. These are problems that go back before President Trump or even President Obama. And the argument sometimes, Shobha, is do we do immigration stuff in Congress one thing at a time, DACA and then border security and then whatever, or do we try to do it all at once? And I guess the answer is neither.
Well, and maybe there's nuance there, right? These are old debates, as you mentioned. And there was a time where and when we had bipartisan support for holistic immigration legislation. So when we return to that era remains to be seen. What I don't want to see happen politically is for DACA to be used as a horse trade for amplified immigration enforcement. We already have a lot of immigration enforcement at our border, in our detention centers, and against people who are just trying to live their lives and support their families. So I hope that any effort in Congress to enact DREAM Act-like legislation doesn't come with the cost of more immigration enforcement.
Now, there's so much going on in the United States right now with protests over police brutality, with the pandemic going on. Do you see DACA emerging as a substantial issue in the presidential race this year?
I hope it is an issue and a face that both political parties can rally around. And there's not a distinction in every case between what's happening in our world with the pandemic, for example, and DACA. We all saw the supplemental filing in the U.S. Supreme Court and saw the documentation of the nearly 30,000 people with DACA who are healthcare workers, who are working on our front lines, who are saving patients' lives and others who are suffering from COVID-19. So I don't see the climate as unrelated. Certainly, it complicates having an immigration conversation in a silo, but I think there are also ways to connect the dots.
We're talking about the future of people protected by DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, after today's U.S. Supreme Court ruling saying it can stay in effect. Shobha Sivaprasad-Wadia is our guest, faculty scholar and clinical law professor at Penn State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the ruling? Do you think the Supreme Court got it right or wrong? Do you want to see the Trump administration bring this back, as they may be able to do? Are you affected by this decision personally, either you or someone in your family? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about today's U.S. Supreme Court ruling on the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the court's four liberal justices in blocking the Trump administration's bid to end DACA. Our guest is Shobha Sivaprasad-Wadia, law professor at Penn State, and you can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. What do you make of today's decision? Are you glad that DACA is here to stay for now? Were you hoping the court would strike it down? What, if anything, do you want to see come from Congress when it comes to DACA, maybe as part of a bigger immigration agreement? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Earlier today, I talked to a Wisconsin immigrant who was protected under the DACA program. Liliana Luera Rivera was born in Monterrey, Mexico and raised in Madison. She's been a DACA recipient since 2012 and works with Children's Wisconsin as a bilingual education and employment specialist. Liliana, thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me.
You're a DACA recipient yourself. Can you share your story, please?
Yes, I've been a DACA recipient since 2012 when President Obama made the announcement. I remember it was summer. I was in the living room with my dad, and we were watching his speech. And I remember, like, when he made that, I literally started crying, you know, happy, excited. You know, I was like, finally, I can do the things that my peers have been able to do. You know, get a driver's license, continue higher education. And not only that, like, I have been able to travel within the U.S. now without the fear of deportation. You know, traveling has changed my life, you know, and I'm, like, very privileged and, like, excited to have, like, the DACA program in my life.
How old were you when you found out?
Yeah, I was 17. I was just about to start my senior year in high school at La Follette.
And can you tell us about when you came into the country? How old were you then?
Yes, I was 2 years old. I came with my mom. You had our visitor visa, you know, but we just overstayed because there was more opportunities here in the U.S. So I've been living here 24 years undocumented.
And what has the uncertainty been like? And there's still some uncertainty. This court decision doesn't resolve everything. What does this uncertainty mean for your daily life?
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, like, there has been so much uncertainty in my life the past couple of years now since Trump was elected into office. You know, this is great news. You know, it's a huge victory for DACA recipients. But, like, you know, the fight is not over, you know. People need to realize that what we need is a comprehensive immigration reform next. You know, there's still 11 million undocumented immigrants in the United States, and we should all have the opportunity to live here, you know, be out, not be in the shadows, you know. But I think that's what's the next step, and especially for me, you know, like, I'm about to start graduate school here at UW-Madison. I'll be going into my master's in social work. So there was another uncertainty, like, will I be able to finish my career? You know, you have to do an internship. And without the working permit, I wouldn't have been able to do my internship.
As we wrap up, Liliana, I understand you work at Children's Wisconsin now as a bilingual education and employment specialist. If you complete that social work master's, what are you hoping to do as a career?
Yes, I'm still in the works what I want to do, but I do want to work with the immigrant community. You know, as a bilingual education employment specialist, I've been working with mixed statuses, you know, within the families. I've seen there's, you know, it's not great having to work with undocumented immigrants and they can't better themselves because they don't have the opportunity to have the high paying job that they deserve. You know, so I want to continue working with the immigrant community and hopes to do that with my master's.
Liliana, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Liliana Luera Rivera, born in Monterrey, Mexico, raised in Madison. She has been protected under DACA, talking about her reactions and her experiences. The U.S. Supreme Court saying DACA could stay in effect, at least for now. Back to our guest, Shobha Sivaprasad-Wadia from Penn State Law School. How common is Liliana's story?
Well, first, it was so inspiring to hear her words.
And in the conversations I've had with DACA recipients over the years, it's also pretty common. And I want to talk a little bit about this uncertainty that she mentioned, because one conversation I've had with many DACA recipients is the so-called psychological warfare that the termination of DACA had on so many. And I think that this decision does not resolve it, but it certainly reduces it. So I see that as an invisible facet, if you will, of the win. But the contributions that Liliana is making mirrors what so many DACA recipients do every day, whether it's on college campuses. I'm on a big college campus where I've been able to witness firsthand the benefits of having DACA recipients in the classroom, but also in the workforce, in our schools, in our hospitals. The list goes on.
Now, an argument here against DACA protections and other protections for people who did not cross the border under a legal path is that it was not legal, and this kind of recognition, this kind of protection, incentivizes potentially people to do the same, to cross the border into the U.S. and stay here in an illegal way, or to overstay visas or whatever the case may be. What do you say to that concern, Shoba?
Yeah, so I find that to be a misguided argument. It was one that the government made both in its briefing and during oral argument. And the reality is that even to qualify for DACA, you have to have lived in the United States for over a decade. So the fact that a policy that requires a decade plus residence plus other requirements would incentivize people to enter without inspection, to me, is a bit misguided. Further, we have to look at the reasons why people are coming to the United States in the first place. And for many of the individuals and families I'm aware of or have met with personally who came to the U.S., many are fleeing. So there are other things that are driving people to the United States that a outcome in DACA is not going to change.
It's Brianna, caller now. Olvid is with us in Green Bay. Olvid, hi.
Hi, Rob. Huge fan of your show. I know you guys were trying to find DACA recipients, and I kind of just want to share my story real quick.
Yeah, what is your story, Olvid?
I actually got DACA when I was 18, right before I turned 19. Basically, it enabled me to get a driver's license. Basically, I feel more normal. If I could say that, I was able to go to college, graduate, and I work as an electrician now.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your story. Are other people in your family, though, in a more difficult situation?
They are. My sister and I both are DACA recipients. My parents, they're still undocumented. I wouldn't say DACA has pretty much made everything great. I pretty much planned my life in 2 year spans, basically because I renew my DACA every 2 years. So there's always that question if I'm still going to be able to do it or not.
Well, that thanks a lot for sharing that story. And Shoba, that reminds me something I didn't mention at the outset. People who are protected under DACA have to keep reapplying, right? As Olvid said, every 2 years.
Correct. So the term is renewal, as was mentioned, and once you receive DACA, that lasts for a 2 year period. So there is a renewal process, and I too have heard many times from DACA recipients about how they conduct their lives in 2 year increments. So this decision today allows that to continue, but to have real certainty, ultimately, we're going to need a solution by Congress.
Olvid, thanks a lot for that call. And that's the big story now, Shoba. Do you feel like Congress is going to try to tackle this and resolve DACA one way or another anytime soon?
So I'm hesitant to say yes with an exclamation point, given where the chambers are as we speak. On the other hand, maybe the collision of this moment we're in with the global pandemic, major attention to an issue of racism that for so long has gone unnoticed, a unusual Supreme Court decision and a presidential election. Maybe that's the collision that will renew a discussion of the DREAM Act in Congress. But for now, I'm going to pay attention to the details and to see how the courts decide to process today's decision at the lower level, and then what the agency decides to do. Will it behave in a way by reinstating DACA 2012, which is what I hope, or will it take a different pathway, maybe issue a new memo? These are some of the questions we still don't have answers to.
Shoba, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Shoba Sivaprasad-Wadia is a professor at Penn State Law School. We talked to her today about today's 5-4 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program.